I'm going to ask your indulgence and your patience to take item K now, which is a 15-minute item, an action required before we take our lunch from between 12 and 12:30. And this is Children in Foster Care, report from the Blue Ribbon Commission on Children. Welcome, Justice Huffman. We're all here. Some are standing, but we're all here ready to hear the presentation. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Chief Justice and members of the council. Thank you on behalf of the Blue Ribbon Commission on Children in Foster Care for giving us time on your rather busy agenda, and respectful of that, I'll be fairly brief in these comments. When I was here in December this last year, I reported to you on the progress of the commission on implementing its recommendations, and at that time I had not yet had the opportunity to travel to New York with the Chief Justice to attend the National Leadership Initiative on School Justice Partnerships called Keeping Kids in School and Out of Court. The conference had its focus on school disciplinary practices and policies that push kids out of school and into the justice system. And upon our return from New York, the Chief Justice charged the Blue Ribbon Commission with creating an initiative to end this state to keep kids in school and out of court. And she let us know that she would like to host a California-focused summit similar to that which was done in New York, if we can secure outside funding. I'm happy to report that I've assigned, I'm very good at delegating the hard work to other people, and Judge Stacey Bulwer-Urey of the Sacramento Superior Court has agreed and has taken on the project of a working group that we call the Truancy and School Discipline Working Group, and it draws from both within and outside of the judicial branch, including representatives of the Department of Education, and they've made extraordinary success in stimulating interest not only within the branch but outside the branch on going forward with this project. So I'm here today to get your approval to ask for private grants to fund a California summit on these issues, and we would like to plan that event for sometime at the end of 2013, so we need to be here now to ask for your approval. And some might wonder, particularly in these times, in light of our fiscal problems, do we really need to do this now? Should we focus energy on this initiative? My answer is absolutely, and now is better than later. In December, I told you that on behalf of the commission, we were afraid that the budget cuts that the branch is taking are going to cause delays in the juvenile dependency system and our ability to manage the calendars and achieve timely outcomes for families and children because of the closure of courtrooms, the loss of commissioners, the loss of staff. And indeed, as you know much better than anyone, that's happened. We have those courtrooms closed, and we are laying off far too many staff. And now more than ever, we think it's important from our perspective to take the initiative to keep kids in school and out of courts. We need to take the steps also to achieve some better outcomes, I think, for our foster children in this regard. Just some numbers. We know that in the 2010-2011 school year, 30% of California's children were truant. And although we don't have data on foster discipline among foster youth on a statewide basis, we do know from other studies that children placed in foster care have more school suspensions than comparison groups. For example, in the Los Angeles Unified School District, children in foster care were 3 times more likely to be suspended or expelled than other children in the same schools. And studies have shown us that even if we control the studies for poverty, the racial disparities in suspensions and expulsions exist at an alarming rate. Excessive school discipline has been found to increase the likelihood of involvement in the juvenile justice system. And a groundbreaking Texas study found that almost 1/4 of the students involved in the school disciplinary system had contact with the juvenile justice system, as compared with 2% of the other students in the same circumstance. And as the discipline goes up, the gap between the non-disciplined students and those with regard to juvenile justice encounter widens dramatically. A successful truancy school discipline initiative promises to cut court costs generally through helping to ensure earlier resolutions in the dependency cases by stabilizing the children and their school environment, building stronger family relationships, and helping us get to permanency, either by way of reunification or at least a more stable permanent plan earlier. And, of course, for those who deal with the juvenile justice system as far as delinquency, we know that the more children we kick out of schools, the more children we put into the juvenile delinquency system. And we all know what the outcomes of those are. And we also put them in the criminal justice system when they graduate from the juvenile system. So we know that there's a problem. But if I haven't convinced you that this is a good time to proceed, I want to turn this job over to a higher authority. In her State of the Judiciary address in March, the Chief Justice said it better than I ever could. She said, quote, "You might ask, why is school discipline a justice issue? The answer is obvious. When children are not in school studies show they are at risk of entering the juvenile justice system. And when children do not graduate from high school, it does not take a great leap of logic to know they are at risk of entering the juvenile justice system. The judicial system can't wait until it happens. We need to recognize this looming problem and create the partnerships needed to return these children to their schools and become productive members of society. Let's get to work." Having that in mind, I would ask the Council to grant the Commission permission to request private funding sources to facilitate the convening of a statewide stakeholders meeting to focus on truancy and school discipline issues, with the emphasis on those issues that affect children and youth in the juvenile court and the juvenile justice system. I thank you for this opportunity. I'd be pleased to answer any questions that you might have on this important subject.
Thank you, Justice Huffman. Yes. Judge D'Alba.
Thank you, Chief Justice Huffman. There's a wonderful program, perhaps you're aware of, here in San Francisco, between the district attorney and the juvenile court, and I forget the honorable judge's name here in Sacramento, in San Francisco.
Kelly used to do it.
Right.
And they have a fabulous program where they just have recently reported 20-25% reduction in truancy. I don't know if you're aware, or Judge Bulwer or Uri, but as a potential source and support of your work. The other thing is, I recently, on behalf of the chief, testified before a special committee in the Assembly on Boys and Men of Color, chaired by Assemblyman Swanson, I believe is his name, from Oakland. So I would commend your commission and, again, Judge Bulwer Uri, to his staff. They have done a tremendous job of canvassing the state of California, juvenile justice, education, law enforcement, community-based nonprofit organizations, for all sorts of data, information, contact. In other words, things that I'm sure your commission and or Judge Bulwer-Uri's work group can perhaps utilize.
Thank you. I'm informed that the person from San Francisco is actually on Judge Bulwer-Uri's work group. And one of the things that we hope out of all of this, frankly, is gathering together these differing ideas and programs. Among other things, when the Blue Ribbon Commission made its recommendations that the Council adopted in 2008, we created a number of what we call local Blue Ribbon Commissions in over 40 court systems in California. And within them, they have, among other things, school officials and others participating, and we hope that we can utilize those people as well, because within each one of these, they've come up with some wonderful ideas. And what we would hope to do is bring those ideas together, steal those that work, take credit for them if necessary. But this is not something the court can do or anyone entity can do. This is a community problem that requires the educators, it requires the social workers, the courts, the law enforcement agencies, and the legislators to get behind it. So we were hoping, with your backing and with the chief's direction, that we can facilitate that.
Judge Rosenberg, and then Justice Hall.
Thank you. I just had one technical question. If a motion is made to authorize you to seek private foundation funding, will that motion be limiting so that you cannot, wouldn't be able to seek public monies from school districts or federal government, things of that nature, or are you seeking only private foundation funding?
Well, our focus has been on private foundation funding, but of course my experience with Diane Nunn's group, they get money from anywhere they possibly can to make this work.
So I wouldn't want to limit your options unless you just want to get private foundation funding.
No, we don't want the options limited, but in recognition of the council's oversight of the process, we didn't believe we should go forward and make those kinds of requests, even the private foundations, without the council's agreement that this is what you want us to do.
Justice Holden, Miriam.
Thank you, Chief. Justice Huffman, I more to Judge Rosenberg's question. I don't read anything in the commission's recommendations that are before us today that would limit you to what the funding sources that you seek. Is there anything, are you constrained in any way?
No, Justice Ho, we're not. Our belief was that we were focusing specifically on your authorizing going for private funds. If
right.
we can find other grant funds, we didn't think that came within the scope of it. But for us to go out and seek private grant funds for a public gathering sponsored by the courts, we believed we should bring this to you and get your agreement or direction.
I understand. Thank you.
Thank you. Miriam Krinsky.
I have a couple points, and then I think I'll try to cast a motion, maybe taking that point in mind and perhaps expand the language a little bit. The first is I want to, again, Chief, thank you. You really took this mantle, took this baton, and ran with it. I think when there was an effort made originally to hold a hearing of the Select Committee on Youth Development and Delinquency Prevention in this very room a number of months back, there was a question made as to whether you'd be interested, whether it's something you'd be committed to, and you didn't simply engage, but you became an expert on this issue. And I think that this is a real testament to the understanding that this isn't an issue that simply relates to schools. If we can keep kids in school, we are able not simply to do the right thing, but also to save the court the time and money of having to deal with these problems. So I think some could even look at it as a good business decision. I look at it as not simply the right thing to do, but something that, as has been said, when you open a school door, you close a prison door. And I think that this is an issue that appropriately is not simply become a priority for many in our state. The legislature, the chief through your action and others, but it's a national priority issue. The attorney general and the secretary, the head of the Department of Education, have created a national initiative around this issue, and the convening in New York was one element of that. I'm sorry. I'm going to turn that off, which I thought I had. That's my time saying
I'm interrupting yourself.
Yes. I didn't press the cough button. It was a different way. So I think that trying to look for the continued leadership around this issue is vitally important and would have tremendous positive impact on the court system. We know, as Justice Huffman said, that California has the worst record in the nation. We have more expulsions than any other state. We have a tremendously high and really embarrassing truancy rate. Disproportionality threads through these issues. And we know that when kids don't perform in school, they're going to end up in the courts and in the justice system. So I'd like to move approval of recommendation number one with the slight modification that there be a search for funding sources, outside funding sources, to include private foundation funding, and then continue the way it reads. And secondly, I think recommendation number two, that there be a more robust report to the council sometime toward the latter part of this year that really engages, Judge D'Alba, in the kind of dialogue that you started. What are courts doing, and how can we sort of understand what some of these best practices look like and what some of the best strategies are. So I'd like to move approval of that. And I'd also, as a final thing, as just a point of personal privilege, after the vote, I need to head to the East Coast, so I'll be leaving. But I did want to, again, tell you all what a pleasure and privilege it's been serving in this body and being able to see just such inspiring leaders in action. So thank you for that privilege over these last 3 years.
Thank you, Miriam.
Second.
Second by Judge Rosenberg. I don't hear any further discussion. All in favor of the motions as amended, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Matter carries. Go forth, Justice Huffman.
Thanks, Chief Justice. We'll do exactly that.
We're going to break until our lunch to reconvene at 12:30 for the rest of our agenda. Thank you.